Good morning. So first up, give the people another election if there is no agreement by Friday in the Stormont talks. That's the demand made by Sinn Féin not once but twice. Yesterday afternoon, Michelle O'Neill said she wanted an election if talks to form an executive fail. And last night, Sinn Féin Deputy Leader Mary Lou MacDonald said that the people must have their say if the British government and the DUP continue to block equality and previous agreements.
I want to say very clearly here in Belfast to the DUP in particular that decision time is now, and that all of us who are in leadership positions need to reach for some of that courage that Martin McGuinness so amply and ably demonstrated. We want a deal. We want the executive and the institutions to be up and functioning. But those institutions have to be credible, and those institutions have to be clean.
On the line is the SDLP's Nicola Mallon and Doug Beattie from the UUP. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good night.
Nicola, your first reaction to this, another election by Friday if there isn't an agreement.
Well, just incredible frustration, Vinnie. If there's going to be an election, there's an election and the parties will stand in it. But we have to ask ourselves, what will an election actually achieve? We know that it will be even more polarised and bitter than our last election. And to be honest, we're talking about an extra £5 million. So in the past couple of months, £10 million spent on elections. And I know that that money could be spent providing youth workers who lost their jobs on the 31st of March because of no budget. It could be used to support vulnerable families who have been cut off from the extern programme. It could be used to carry out a number of operations. And that's the actual price that ordinary people are going to have to pay for this political impasse.
Well, what would your guess be then, Nicola, in terms of why Sinn Féin would want another election?
I don't know, and that is a question that Sinn Féin has to answer. Everybody is frustrated, but I genuinely believe, Vinnie, that if there is sincere willingness to come to an agreement, then it can be achieved. If we imagine 19 years ago, when the people who were involved in negotiating the Good Friday Agreement just had, say, their backs or walked away, and I mean that for all parties, they just walked away, imagine the immense pain and suffering that would have been caused that has been saved. So we've got a challenge in front of us 19 years later, and we have a responsibility, I believe, to step up. It's not about nationalism dominating unionism. It's not about unionism dominating nationalism. It's about getting genuine power sharing up and running, implementing what was previously agreed, and getting a government that actually delivers for people across health and education and housing and a range of other things that actually matter to people.
Sinn Féin would say that they want agreement over legacy issues and the Irish Language Act, and that if they don't get those agreements, then they want the people to show their support through another election for what they're standing for, their red lines.
And if that is Sinn Féin's data position, that is their position. We all stood in this election on a range of issues. We all stood asking people to elect us to get genuine power sharing up and running. I believe wholeheartedly that that was the message that people sent to us on the 2nd of March. Now, what are we going to do with that mandate? Yes, we have difficult issues to try and grasp, and there have been issues that have been around a long time. But the truth is, Vinnie, that the DUP have fared extremely well under previous successive crisis talks from St Andrews onwards. So in my book, they're very happy with the status quo, and they see any change as a concession. The truth is that under Sinn Féin, when they were negotiating, they actually negotiated weaker positions than we had from the Good Friday Agreement. They've woken up to that fact. And they are right in saying that there are outstanding elements of the agreement that need to be implemented. So what are we going to do? One party doesn't and shouldn't have a mandate to stand in the way of progress. We all need to work together.
Doug Beattie, of course, Sinn Féin, they would say in the last election, what was it, in March, they stood on those issues. That's what they were saying when they were calling for people to vote for them. And if therefore they can't get those things across the line, then they want another election to try and prove that there is support there for the issues they're standing on.
And that's really up to them. And I think you hit the nail on the head at the very start there, Vinnie. There was an election, and that election gave political parties a mandate. It told political parties to set up a power-sharing executive. And it's a failure of leadership of the political parties if they don't set up what the people have asked for Now, I do fear an election, and I'll tell you why I fear an election, Vinny, because any other election will be incredibly sectarian, because we will just go to a head count, because we are so entrenched now, we are so divided, and we're getting more divided, and the language is getting so much more vile than it was previously.
Because, Doug, some people might say that you, yourself, the UUP, fear another election because it went from 16 to 10 MLAs, and another election could see you lose even more seats.
Yes, absolutely, and you're right, we could lose more seats. I don't fear an election for an election's sake, but I fear an election for what it will do to Northern Ireland, because if it makes us a more sectarian society because of an election, then it's not a good thing. And we all know that sectarian elections can become violent, and I'm genuinely fearful of that. Now, if there is an
what
election,
do you mean by that?
Well, as people get entrenched in their positions, when things become sectarian headcounts, there's a tendency to bring out a vacuum, and people come onto the street to fill that vacuum. And I'm fearful, genuinely fearful of that, Vinny.
Well, we haven't seen or heard anything that would suggest that. Some people might say that that is a bit of scaremongering, Doug.
Of course, I'm giving you an opinion, Vinny, and that's all it is. It's an opinion, it's one man's opinion, but I'm giving it to you now, that I do think that if you listen to the language now, we are talking about a head count election. We're talking about two sides getting further and further apart, and the language of that election will get harder and harder. And I fear that, and I'm just giving you that opinion. Now, people can certainly disagree with me, and I don't mind that, but I fear that. And of course, people will say that's just me protecting the Ulster Unionist Party from an election. And again, they can believe that if they want. But I genuinely believe, listening to the talks, listening to what's being said, that we're in dangerous times.
Do you think, Doug, are other parties sleepwalking into what will be another election?
Well, I don't think anybody's sleepwalking into it at all, to be perfectly honest with you. I think we all know that it could be on the horizon, but we also know that direct rule could be on the horizon. So you could ask the same question, are political parties sleepwalking into direct rule? And direct rule would not be good for Northern Ireland, but it might be the only way to give us time and space to come up with agreements, because having sat in these talks for a number of weeks now, I mean, they have structure now, but they are flat. They're absolutely directionless. They've got no engine room driving the narrative, and the narratives are all entrenched, and there's no room to manoeuvre. So we do need a time and a space to be able to manoeuvre.
Sinn Féin do seem to be getting ready for another election. There was like a large public meeting at the Europa Hotel last night, and then they had other public meetings throughout Northern Ireland, and they're also holding things called electoral registration clinics, basically to get their supporters registered to vote. So they seem pretty certain, or they're aiming it in that direction, that they're getting ready for another election a matter of weeks after the last one.
Absolutely, and I've got to say, those election clinics are happening all across Northern Ireland, and it's not just Sinn Féin who are running these clinics. They're being run by all political parties now.
Is your party running them?
Well, certainly, yeah, my party is, and certainly my office is running a campaign to go to houses to help people register. So I think the whole of Northern Ireland is on a semi election footing, and we have been since the end of the last election. So I think that's across the board.
And what kind of message are you getting from the electorate, Doug, when you're talking to them on the doorsteps?
Well, we're getting mixed messages, to be perfectly honest with you, Vinny. We're getting messages which say, listen, we've been through this, we've paid for this election, we've already gone through this process, we've elected you to represent us, now go away and represent us. And I think that's indicative of what people are saying. We have elected you, now go and do your job. And if you don't do your job, you're failing us. And I think we are. I will say the same myself. We're doing an awful lot of work for my constituency office, but the big stuff, the stuff we should be doing, the legislation stuff, is just not happening. And that's failing the people of Northern Ireland. It's failing them in education. It's failing them in healthcare and many other sectors.
We did ask Sinn Féin and the DUP to come on, but they have nobody available for us this morning. We also asked for the Secretary of State, James Brokenshire, and he is not available. I'm not sure he's ever been available for this programme, but that's another matter. They did send us a statement. They said it is not helpful to speculate on alternative outcomes at this stage. Even that sentence, Nicolette, that is just going to instill more frustration in the voter, in the electorate, the public of Northern Ireland, thinking we want to move on, we want a resolution, or we want to get to some stage out of this limbo land.
Well, I think frustration is probably an understatement. If anybody else in any job that they were doing was faced with a very difficult situation or a crisis, they would have to deal with it. They couldn't just walk away. They couldn't just turn their back. They couldn't just say, this is too difficult for us, so we're not playing ball.
Well,
if we expect everybody else to do that, then why do we not have the same standard for our politicians? Now, Vinnie, that's not to say that some of these issues aren't extremely difficult, but if there's a willingness, there is a way. We're getting.
But do you suggest by that, Nicola, that there isn't a willingness, that there that perhaps some people don't want a resolution?
Well, I remain, in all honesty, to be convinced, because the first round of talks, and I was involved in them, they lasted 3 weeks, and it was more a he said, she said process. This second time round, it is much more structured, absolutely. We're having meeting after meeting, but there is the distinct difference between meeting and making progress. And I think that it's not helpful when others are rushing around having huge registration clinics, because it sends a message that they're gearing towards an election. Now, parties will argue that, you know, a significant number of people were disenfranchised the last time round, and it's about ensuring that they have the right to vote for the next election.
Well, this,
but it can be read as doublespeak, and that's not helpful.
Okay, this statement from the Secretary of State goes on to say, as the SOS has stated, if no agreement is reached following the Easter recess, then he would seek to bring forward legislation to set a regional rate to enable collection of the rates to go ahead and take steps to provide further assurances around the budget for Northern Ireland. You could maybe surmise from that, Doug Beattie, that why would he suggest he's going to do that if he was going to call another election?
Well, I mean, he has to do something, to be perfectly honest, Vinnie. We as a country need to be able to operate on a day-to-day basis. So there's certain things that he has to do to enable us to do that, and setting the rate is certainly one of them. I mean, there is a possibility that we could be, as you said, sleepwalking into a soft direct rule, that small bits of legislation start to build up until unwittingly we're in a direct rule. But the threat of an election has never been taken away. And actually, when you have one party who's actively calling for it, you know, it can't be dismissed.
I understand that, but in going back to that statement, it doesn't suggest from that he has any intention of calling an election in any time in the near future. So, does he have a legal requirement to do so at some point? Is there a time frame?
Well, you know, he has to call an election in a reasonable time frame after the election took place, and you know, that you could say that could be 5 weeks, 6 weeks.
So,
7 weeks. So, you know,
I don't think you probably can't answer this, but how long is that?
Well, the answer is I don't know, Vinny. But he has to either call an election, or he will have to put in legislation for direct rule. So it's going to have to be one of the other, and that sits with him. And in truth, we have not been brought into his thoughts cycle on that one.
So have any of us? Have any of the parties up in Stormont? Because there does seem to be a bit of a disconnect. We've had statements with similar lines. The next line goes on to say the government's priority is for parties to continue to engage over the coming days to ensure devolved government is restored as quickly as possible. But of course, that's what we want. That's what he wants in his position. But in terms of any actual movement or any actual control or influence.
Well, you know, the things that we're talking about here are complicated, and at the moment we are so far apart on some of these issues that we're not going to get an agreement by Friday, and that's absolutely sure. And as we talk, more things are added to the mix, so we're continually talking about different things and larger things. And if you come forward with a solution, even an interim solution, just to be able to get the executive up and running, then some parties are very quick to shoot that down. So it's hard to see where we're going. So the Secretary of State can either just have us continue to talk while he legislates on certain issues in regards to Northern Ireland to keep it functioning, or he calls for direct rule, or he calls an election. So there's the options.
It doesn't look like
there's an important, Vinnie.
Yes, go ahead.
That the British government has a dual role in this. So it's not just a facilitator of a talks process and then has to make a decision once we get to a deadline. You know, they are an actor in all of this, not least when it comes to the past. So progress in terms of the amount of progress that's being made in the talks is very much dependent on their involvement as well. So I think we need to be clear that, you know, as progress is very much in the hands of the British government as it is within the Irish government and the parties up at Stormont.
Okay, Doug and Nicola, stay there for a minute for us. Colin in Portadown, go ahead, Colin. First caller of the day.
Oh, really? Yeah, very good. Vinny, yeah, you're asking the question, what could a second election achieve?
Yes.
Right, but here's what it could achieve, in my opinion. The result could be that Sinn Féin are now the dominant party, the biggest party in Northern Ireland, and their road to United Ireland is on the way. Or if the unionist people come out and vote, in the numbers that they have, it will prove that unionists are the dominant party. They are the people. They've got the biggest mandate. And Sinn Féin will just have to accept that and get into government or walk away from politics in Northern Ireland.
And you think that's what people in Northern Ireland want?
Do I think... What is that they want?
What do you think people in Northern Ireland want?
Well, obviously, they want what everyone else wants. They want a government that works for them.
But the point of my question is, if there is another election, I understand what you're saying, the possible outcomes, but in terms of having a government here, having devolution, having control from Northern Ireland, would that lead to that, or would it just almost be a vanity project?
Well, it would lead to that if the parties wanted to lead to that. Obviously, Sinn Féin don't.
Okay. Colin, thank you. Martin, go ahead.
Hey, Vinny, just a quick question. I asked about 2 weeks ago. The first election was called, 8 weeks ago. How much has this cost? The first election was $5 million.
Well, I would assume a second one would be $5 million as well. So as Nicola said earlier, that would be $10 million in a matter of a couple of months.
Hold on, Vinny, hold on. $5 million. What has been paid in wages, rents in their offices, all from this? This must be costing as much as the RHI scandal. This is getting a disgrace.
So would you stop their pay, Martin?
It's affecting this country. This is getting a disgrace. They're just rubbing the salt into
the wounds. What would you do? What can you do then? Because we have to try and get to an agreement, so there has to be discussions regardless.
If we go back to another election and we put the same people back in the same position,
yes.
What happens next? What's it cost to run Stormer today, Vinny? Just curious. What does it cost to run that up there every day?
That's a good question.
How many thousand?
Yeah.
Why are we still paying a penny? Simple question. In 1998, they made this big agreement on all prisoners was the first jigsaw puzzle. Let them out. Now they're out. The rest of the victims have been left behind, Finney. And it's the same old story. Much as a caution a day.
Doug Beattie, every time we talk about this, the question of pay and salary comes up. One second, Martin. I want to bring Doug Beattie in to see what he has to say about what you've been saying this morning. Go ahead, Doug.
No, I think he's got an absolutely fair point, and I think as we go on, that'll become increasingly relevant. It's unsustainable to continue to pay the MLAs at the level that they are if we don't get an agreement and we're not operating up in Stormont. What I would say, though, and I mean this, is regardless of me and they can stop my pay, but my constituency office is doing incredibly hard work. It's tripled its workload, so that needs to be there to be able to...
Some people, Doug, might assume that because we're in this limbo land, that the MLAs, that they're doing nothing. The people that were elected because of this kind of stalemate that we're in, trying to get an agreement, that you're actually being paid to sit on your backsides.
Yeah.
But that's the assumption from a lot of people that I talk to.
No, I get that, and I can assure them that I'm most definitely not sitting on my backside. I'm actually working extremely hard, but that's not the point. What I'm not doing is the job that I'm paid to do, and that's up and legislating up in the Assembly. Therefore, I can absolutely sympathise with the people. So what I would say is we need the constituency offices. We need to be able to represent the people in our constituency area, and if that means that MLA's pay is reduced or even stopped, but at least keep the offices open so we can still represent the people.
I want to bring in Alison Morris from the Irish News at this point. Alison, a lot of frustration from voters, from politicians. It's difficult to know where this will end. What do you think is going to happen in the next couple of days?
Well, I think only the most ridiculously optimistic would be hopeful that there's going to be a deal by Friday. I think we could rule that out pretty much. I don't. The impression I get from anyone I've spoken to involved in the talks is practically nothing has been achieved. Okay, these talks are more structured than
previous. How can there be nothing achieved, though, in the weeks that's gone by? Like, nothing, really?
Well, listen, think about what the issues are that are outstanding, the sort of legacy issues, the things that Sinn Féin have talked about, the Equality Issues, the Irish Language Act, a lot of the unresolved acts of the Good Friday Agreement. None of those issues there is any agreement between the DUP and Sinn Féin on. None of those issues. Now, okay, you might agree on small matters, but as Doug already said, there's no appetite there for coming up with a sort of part-time deal, you know, a sort of Stormont House deal that will get us over the line to get the government up and running in the interim, because Sinn Féin have stood at those meetings, which you quoted Mary Lou McDonald from earlier, and they have told their electorate, they have told their supporters there will be no return to the status quo. And if we were to go back with just an interim agreement and enough to just sort of gloss over the top of the edges and get people back into government.
So what does Sinn Féin do then by Friday? If there's no agreement, they're calling for an election. It looks like they won't get it, going by what the Secretary of State has been saying. So what do they do?
I think the fact that Sinn Féin have been calling for election and the fact that they seem to be already in election mode. I mean, where I live, there's a lot of Sinn Féin election posters weren't taken down, and I noticed nobody's in any rush to take them down. I'm assuming they think that it'll be a waste of time if they don't have to put them back up again. I think that unions should be fearful of the fact that Sinn Féin are so keen on an election. There was a few key constituencies in the last election where Sinn Féin were just a couple of hundred votes out of taking a seat. And I think that if they go back in the election, there's a very real possibility they could become the biggest party. There's also a very real possibility people just stay at home and just reject the entire thing. But nothing can be gained from an election. That we'd be back in the same position we are here, even if Sinn Féin...
But surely that there must be something...
We'd be back at the same balance.
Yeah, but
it wouldn't change anything in regards to talk.
But if I would assume, or some people might say, that Sinn Féin would be hoping that if there was another election, if they're pushing it in that direction, or that's what they think will happen, then as a result, they might come out, that the nationalist vote might then come in more numbers behind them, and then they might end up the largest party, even though it wouldn't necessarily lead to an agreement and a government here.
It wouldn't, because Sinn Féin have around a long-term prize now. You know, things have changed. The world that we live in has changed. And following Brexit, nothing will ever be the same again.
Going back as well... Sorry, Alison, just going back as well to the issue around an election, and is there a legal requirement established in statute for that?
The legal requirement is you have to call an election in a reasonable period of time.
What does that
mean?
There's
nothing to say. Well, it means no how long it's a piece of string. But there's also nothing to stop the Secretary of State going back and legislating or installing emergency legislation to allow either semi-direct rule, a sort of soft direct rule as we keep hearing about, or an extended period of talk.
And what do you think Sinn Féin would do if that happened?
Sinn Féin have been very clear that they're calling for a new election, but at the end of the day, the power in this decision lies with the Secretary of State. It's up to him to decide where we go from here. And we have heard that I don't think he has the appetite for an election, because like everybody else, he knows that it'll not change anything and it'll make no difference to where
we're going. True, but some would say, what does he have the actual appetite for? You know, continually putting out statements saying, you know, the government's priority is for parties to continue to engage, you know, overcoming days.
You said yourself earlier, you'd ask the Secretary of State to come on your show and refuse. I think most journalists working in Northern Ireland are unimpressed by the current Secretary of State.
Maybe he does have a plan, though. Maybe he had something that he doesn't want to show his hand, and he has a plan for the next few weeks, but is trying to keep it close to his chest so as not to influence what is happening at Stormont.
This British government in general, this Conservative government, will be very hands-off with regards to Northern Ireland. Now, some people say maybe that's a good thing, because they're finally saying, look, this is it, take responsibility, you know, we're not babysitting you anymore, and they've handed power back. And another way is, when we have a crisis like this, it's up to the British Irish government, the stakeholders, to step in and try and make some kind of difference. And the first period of talks, we had 3 weeks of talks that weren't even talks. It was people milling around up in Stormont. There was no structure to them at all. There was no chairs to them. So you would imagine at that point in time, the Secretary of State would have stepped in, and he didn't. So I haven't been enthused. I think he's been incredibly magnolia about the whole thing. You know, it's very bland.
Incredibly magnolia.
He seems incredibly disinterested in what is happening here.
Well, I'm sure he would say that he's very interested and he is doing things according to how he sees
fit.
Well,
you don't know, because he wouldn't come on to tell you that, would I?
That's the point.
What we have to recognise here is the British government are in the middle of triggered Article 50. They're in the middle of negotiating their way out of the EU. And I think that we are at a very, very small on their list of Theresa May's priorities. I don't think we're that high up. I think that she's quite happy to leave us to fight among ourselves and let things tick over, and just to rule things to keep the place government and the lights on and the bills paid from Westminster. And I don't think it would cause her a sleepless night at all if we continue to squabble in the way we are.
Okay, Alison Morris from the Irish News, thank you. Doug Beattie, thanks as well. And Nicola Mallon, we'll take some more of your calls on this. Stephen Palmer from Bush Mills. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Vinny.
Go ahead.
How many elections does it take to realise that direct rule is the correct answer?
It sounds like a bad joke.
Well, I mean, the Assembly is a bad joke.
But do you genuinely think that direct rule is the best thing, the best outcome?
I think it would be the perfect answer.
Why perfect, though? Some people say that it's a maybe slightly romantic memory of what direct rule was like, and if it was back here, if we have no control over decisions, then it's not all it might seem in terms of water rates and different decisions that are being made from Westminster, and we have no input into that.
Well, I mean, we are part of the UK and we should be ruled by the Mother of Parliaments, Westminster.
Well, what do you think will happen, Stephen, in the next week or two?
Direct rule, definitely.
Okay, thanks, Stephen. Rab in North Belfast. Rab, go ahead. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Rob. Finny.
Rob, sorry, that's my bad eyesight, Rob. Go ahead.
You're okay. Finny, I want to echo some of the comments that were made by Alice and Morris.
Yes.
And there it is, that what seems to be happening here is that there is clear indications from Sinn Féin that they want to go into another election. I just don't see what another election would achieve. We would be back in this, exactly the same situation that we are in prior to an election. Now, the people of the North have come out in numbers not seen since 1998, and they have voted. They have voted very, very clearly, and they have voted for what they want. And what they want is an effective government. And if we don't have that, then we do end up with direct rule. And let me tell you, there is nobody who wants direct rule. Also, in respect of an election, we spend £5 million again. When we see the cuts to youth services from the Education Authority, when we see the cuts right across the board, when we see the deaths on our streets from drugs, they need to sit up and they need to listen. And they need to. Sinn Féin and the DUP need to get their heads together and start respecting one another.
Well, Rob, tell me this. Did you vote in the last election?
I did.
And will you vote if there is another election, say for argument's sake, in the next couple of months?
I will always vote. But I'm not to be honest.
But the reason I ask is, you think will it just annoy people so much that it will put people off voting a second time?
I do. I have been talking to people on the ground, about supporters of all parties, who are saying, if there's another election, we will not be voting.
Okay. All right, Rob, thank you very much. We'll take some more of your calls on this shortly, just after your news with Tina. Tina, thank you very much. We'll take a couple more calls on this. Jerry in Lisburn, go ahead, Jerry.
Good morning, Vinny.
Good morning.
You're doing a great job.
Oh, thanks very much.
I'd like to ask.
I was going to say you sound like my dad, but you don't at all. Jerry, go ahead.
I'd like to ask Nicola and Doug a question. I'm being very interested in what they're saying, and they're good talkers, you know. I'm an ordinary 5'8" on the street, so I would like to know from the both of them, what is so unreasonable that Sinn Féin are asking for? So, in other words, what are they asking for that's so unreasonable to the DUP? Because I can't work it out.
Well, there's one of the issues is the Irish Language Act, and the DUP, Arlene Foster, has said that she will never agree under her leadership to an Irish Language Act.
Why not? Why not? What's so unreasonable about an Irish Language Act?
There's a variety of reasons that they give. One of them is the cost and the uncertainty over how much it would actually cost us.
Right. I watch Country File every night, and in one of the episodes, they all said cheerio in Welsh. And you've got the Scottish, Language Act. What is so unreasonable about an Irish Language Act? If they can control the cost, would they agree to it then?
Okay, well, Jerry, if they had agreed to come on the programme this morning, we could have put that question to them. But anyway, Jerry, thank you. Last call on this for now. William in Armagh. Go ahead, William.
Look, I've made this point before. But why have such a red line as a deadline to the end of the talks? Why not just keep them people up there to continue talking to come to some form of an agreement? What's the point of having another election come up with a sectarian headcount, wasting another £5 million?
It goes back to the fact, though, or the issue, William, that Sinn Féin would say they stood on those issues, so people, they would assume, voted for them because of those issues that they were standing for, and they might feel let down if they then said, well, I know we said when we were asking for your votes that these were our important issues we were going to stand up for, but now we're going to throw them aside just to get agreement.
Unless you're living in some place you've never heard of, the result's going to be the same. But I'd like to make a point, man. Why not let the civil servants continue on with the day-to-day run of the country till they come to an agreement? Have some sort of financial sanction on these guys up on the hill till they come to an agreement? Because I'm mindful of the fact that Belgium was near 600 days without a government, and the sky didn't fall down. and they're back in business, and the people, I think actually their gross domestic product increased while there was no government.
Okay, well, William,
so just keep them at it. We save £5 million and then cut their wages by half.
Well, William, I have a feeling that we'll be talking about this quite a bit over the next couple of weeks and probably into the future as well.